This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
listen, I know that I'm a stickler for details. I come from the old school, learn it from my dad, and I know our next guest, Bill Chow, is from the old school. I've heard in past places that I've worked that I wasn't that well liked, because guess what? I held people accountable. And also, guess what? We won!
How about that?
Details, details, details. Details win, details lose. Are you winning now?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
That's right. I'm a stickler for details. Welcome, everybody, to the RP Show. Welcome to a Flame Tech Football Friday as my earpiece falls out. I'm having a horrible time with this today.
That's okay.
All right. You ready to have fun?
I am.
Okay, good.
I am.
We're live on Facebook here on Hour 1. In Hour 2, we're going to simulcast national television, Game Plus TV, as well as Facebook Live. It's funny because Don McNeil, I see, writing in from Central Ontario. He says, good morning from Central Ontario, still figuring out the time change. Dang it! You too, huh? Not just me.
I know.
But it's good, and I know people are somewhat losing it. There's a big announcement coming up from the government here later on this morning from this province. People fear lockdowns. They fear it's going to have a massive impact on sports. So we're following that and seeing where things go, okay? But beyond that, just settle in for a couple hours of fun and sports talk because I'm very excited. I'm just taking this thing out right now. I don't know what I did.
Good idea.
I'm very excited about the guest today. John Frenzy's here. And you're good, right, Lynch? He has not stopped talking since the minute I picked him up. Just a running commentary.
That's good.
Of everything. Trump, Biden,
women.
He said it. I didn't want to say it. Football, obviously. So John Frenzy is like a bucking horse in the stall, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
Just kicking at the gate, ready to get out. And he'll be here in segment two to interview Gus Frerotte.
That's exciting.
Get on the bus, Gus. NFL great. Now, you may not think NFL great. Look up his stats. We were talking about it last night at Ballers, slow pitch. The guy's got 20,000-plus passing yards of the National Football League. And he's got a very interesting post-career story, too. So Gus Frerotte coming up in Hour 1, and our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, coming up in Hour 2 with Tory's tips for Wheaton Kia. John Frenzy's brought to you by Wheaton Kia. So while it is a Flame Tech Football Friday, Wheaton Kia has a very big imprint on this. Are you ready to go with the quick six show topics?
Oh, yeah. Hit it.
Did he hit it? I can't hear it.
I can't hear it either. I don't think he hit it. There it is.
There we go. There we go.
All right.
Point one, CFL Grey Cup Unite events. That was announced yesterday. And I do, well, I go one day at a time. When these announcements are made like an hour before we go to showtime, I kind of got the show planned out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't really delve into it as much yesterday. For instance, the racial injustice panel has the participants. It was announced by the CFL yesterday, and it's a lot of our really good friends of this show. The virtual town hall with Randy Ambrosi, the coaches' news conference, all of that. But what really kind of slipped through all this is somehow people seem to think there's going to be an update on the CFL for 2021 on Monday from Randy Ambrosi. Do you expect that, or do you think it's fake news?
Yeah, I don't expect an update on 2021.
You don't, huh?
I mean, he'll talk about it, and he'll say we're optimistic and we're excited, and you know we're putting in a lot of work to be on the field in 2021. You know, and today we want to celebrate what's been an amazing decade, and we want to celebrate the fans. And he doesn't even have to do it. I just did it for him. We're done. Like that's what it will be, and it'll be great. It'll be fine, but there won't be really any details next week in terms of what's planned.
That's what you think, but yeah. Who knows?
But who knows?
Well, and I've kind of got my points out already here. I'm jumping to what I had listed as point three. I'm going to make it point two. Thursday was like a paradigm shift in pro football from what I could see. My inbox was just jammed from American people, coaches, players, fans, media, Americans yesterday saying, Rod, is there going to be a season in 2021 in the CFL? And I didn't ask them, but I should have said, why are you asking? Why are you asking? And why are you asking now? Because what was Thursday? What made that special? You know, and I thought, well, if this is true, and it was the Canadian Press, one of the outlets that surmised that there would be an update on Monday, can you wait till Monday? But here's the scary thing that it's kind of dawned on me. What I think the reason why they're asking right now is the players specifically, and the messages were coming from Texas, Florida, the usual. They're thinking, if there's no season, I'm getting on with my life.
Yeah.
They've waited 9 months already, and if there's no CFL training camps next year, they're done. That's the players. And with the coaches, they want to know. You know, some of their contracts are expiring at the end of December of this year. They don't know if there's going to be a season, that whether they'll have a job next year or not. So do you know what sucks about that? What's new is we went through this in May and June and July and ultimately August 17th when they pulled the pin on it. Now we're here we are, Darren, going through it all again.
I know. The same feelings, the same emotions. And, you know, I think there's going to be less disappointment if it doesn't happen, because I think we're just expecting that. That's not a good place for the league to be, you know, where the fans are maybe expecting that it's not going to happen. You never want to go into something expecting for it to fail, or having your fan base expecting you not to be on the field. But I think that's where a lot of us are right now.
Yeah, well, maybe the CFL leaders, because it's not all on Randy Ambrosi, can pull a rabbit out of a hat. But Lynch and I talked about it in the car all the way up here. I don't see anything changing in terms of large groups in 2021. I do not. As a matter of fact, I see it getting worse. Topic for another time, but I just don't see fans being allowed into the stadium. So if the CFL leaders can pull a rabbit out of the hat and find a way to play, then there will be a season. But I'm not the one to ask.
Yeah.
They're the ones to ask. And I see viewers are writing in and saying that the town hall with Randy Ambrosi on Monday is full. That's fantastic news. That's that whole thing about, would you rather play before a packed 100-seat theater or have 100 people in a theater for 3,000 people? You'd rather be in the packed theater.
Oh, yeah.
People want to know what Randy Ambrosi has to say, and I still think there's a chance that there will be an update on the 2021 season. I think there'll be more than what you said,
yeah.
But I don't think there'll be a definitive yes or no, because he doesn't know. Dave Naylor was on radio in Toronto yesterday saying the CFL won't know until the spring or summer. That was from Naylor. And who's he speaking with? Government officials? League officials?
We don't know if we're playing hockey this weekend. We don't know what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alberta has shut down sports, right? And their gatherings. And we feel that Saskatchewan's going to be right behind Alberta and following their act. We don't know what all the provinces are going to do and when they're going to change. So summer's a long time away.
Analytics, by the way, are so much fun. And if you missed it earlier in the week, I said that 1/3 of our viewers are American. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. That's what the stats say. Here's one text that came in. And I know he's watching right now because he said he would. I appreciate and love the RP show because I trust the information provided. Sports and politics. It's a view from the outside when politics creeps in for this American. Keep your balls on the table. Don't take any resistance. And his name's Steven. That's all I'm going to say. So, how do you like that, Lynch?
Pretty good.
I agree.
Pretty good.
Moving on. So, this now becomes point three. And it will be the face-off, guys. So, get it ready for the ultimate fan zone of Mad Greek. And it's also the poll question. The Weeknd has been announced as the halftime act for Super Bowl 2021 in Tampa. The Weeknd, the Canadian act, which, don't at me, I thought it was a band. I didn't realize it was one guy. I love his music, but I thought it was a band.
Even Lynch knew it was one guy.
Even Lynch. Lynch has all his songs downloaded to his iPod.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I'm calling up the poll question right now. The Weeknd is from Toronto. He's playing halftime of the Super Bowl. Get it? So I've been saying forever, that the Grey Cup halftime act has to be Canadian. Should be mandatory that it's a Canadian. I can't believe the blowback I've received from people for a year. I'm talking some of the top branding and marketing people in the country are like, no, Rod, you don't understand. We need a big act so we look big time. Why can't it be Canadian? You can still have the mandatory Canadian act and still be big time. So I'm not sure my tweet yesterday conveyed my thoughts on that. I was basically saying, so a Canadian act's good enough for the Super Bowl, but not good enough for the CFL and the Grey Cup. As I'm just trying to get my thoughts out. Sometimes I'm not the best communicator. So the poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, should it be mandatory that the Grey Cup Halftime Act be Canadian? We're into the hundreds of votes. 65% say no, it shouldn't be mandatory. But I'm okay with swimming upstream and being the only one. What are they saying on Facebook?
Look, 59% say yes.
Yep.
Well, so that's, they agree with you.
That's the old school and the Facebook viewers.
And that's you convincing our viewers, right?
I guess.
On your side of it, for sure.
It's good enough for the NFL, but no, we gotta be big time. You can still be big time. Now, I've said it many times, I haven't changed my thinking. I'd rather have Ian Tyson than Bon Jovi if it meant a Canadian act at halftime of Grey Cup. And I know not everybody goes along with that. But where are you voting on that?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care where they're from.
What do you mean you don't care?
I don't care where they're from.
You gotta care.
I don't care. I just want them to be a big act. Now, if they're Canadian, a big act, I do think that's a bonus. I think that's great. And that's the problem is you say that and they say, but Rod, why can't we have a big act? Well, a lot of the biggest acts now in the world are Canadian. You look at Drake, you look at The Weeknd.
That's the point.
That's the point, right? But instantly, when we think of a Canadian act, we think of the old ones, right? Loverboy, Glass Tiger, Trooper, right? We go back to those things, or Shania Twain, or you know what I mean? But there's some big acts that are Canadian. So get the biggest acts. Make it a big deal. Make the Grey Cup as big of a deal as you possibly can. But don't be so sheltered to think that because it's a big deal, they won't be Canadian. But don't get into this mindset that it has to be Canadian and we have to just get whoever it is just because of the passport.
I vehemently oppose what you're saying, and I adamantly feel that it should be a Canadian. And here's something that a lot of you don't know. I'm not sure that even Lynch knows, that I was a country music DJ back in the day and would go to these live events, spend a lot of time at the Craven Country Jamboree with Canadian acts. And they probably before your time, like George Fox. Does that mean anything to you? You didn't know that? So while these guys were huge acts in Canada, country music, it was killing them that they weren't, their albums weren't for sale. One told me, my album's not for sale on Rodeo Drive. I go into an album store back when we had them. Right?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, yeah, and my album's not for sale down there. And I get it. You know, and these guys had to, and girls, had to go to Nashville to get that big, that Nashville sound. There was always something stacked against them. Yeah. So maybe I'm still in that mentality, but I'm sticking up for those guys. I look at the people fighting to get on our Sim halftime show. They're fighting over each other to get on the Sim halftime show. So there's a major bias against the Canadian acts. So I'm saying let's make it mandatory that at least the Canadian football championship has to be Canadian. So that's my take. And listen, I could go on for hours. I told you we were going to have fun today.
Oh, yeah. And it works because there's enough big name Canadian acts that are world class.
Who even thought of The Weeknd? We think Drake. We think Justin Bieber.
Exactly.
And the other thing, by the way, who sings Cuts Like a Knife? Brian Adams. Who's done Grey Cup, by the way? He did it here.
Yeah, I think Nickelback was one of the better halftime shows because they sound so good live.
Saw him in Vancouver.
Amazing. One of the best ones that has ever been. And, I mean, in the 2000s, they were the Rolling Stone band of the decade. Like, of the decade in the entire world. And they're from Canada. So
I knew this would be big. One of our viewers writes in and says, Rod's rant. We've just banged off Rod's rant, the face-off, and the poll question all on one topic. Should the Grey Cup Act, should it be mandatory that they be Canadian? And I still think that, yes, it should be. And one day when I'm the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, it will be. I'm joking. I don't want to be. I don't want to be. But the other thing, though, is, does America have this tiers of talent? Because
right.
I went to the Junos when it was here, and I'm expecting Shania, Brian Adams, Bieber. And I get Katie Lang, and I think Anne Murray, and the Sheepdogs, who I love, but they're not in that realm. And I'm like, this is the American Hockey League of Canadian Music Awards. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I guess the icon, Celine Dion, was chilling in Vegas. Just saying. I don't want to say. I think he was going like this.
I know, right? A little bit too big. I don't know.
So a very Canadian topic here in the warm-up. We covered three, like I said.
We're going to write the book on how to deliver sponsorship.
That this is it. Hot button topics.
Oh, yeah.
Entertainment. Get it? By the way, the face-off is brought to you by the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw for the best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your official licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Built by fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. I could have 10 topics, by the way. Keep rolling. I wanted to give you a couple minutes on this, and I think Gus Frerotte's almost ready to go. So Thursday Night Football, the Titans were humiliated. They were humiliated 34-17 by the Colts last night. We watched it at Ballers, part of our indoor slow pitch league.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
They lost it early. I mean, first drive, go down the field, score a touchdown. Second drive, A.J. Brown drops that pass. But we don't need a punter, that's for sure. We don't need a punter. I mean, we talked to Big Fresh. I tried tweeting Big Fresh, the agent, right, for Brett Kern, who's injured. He'll come back. He's one of these, maybe the best punter in the NFL. But we need a kicker. And I'm now off the Gostkowski train. We need Brett Lowther. I've started the campaign on Twitter. We need Brett Lowther.
Well, Gil represents Brett Lowther, by the way, and Rob Fry. So
maybe Kern can get him a workout. I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know.
From Alan the intern, he says, Rod, did you have a nickname as a country DJ? I'm curious. No, I didn't. I didn't last long enough as a country DJ because the sports people got their hooks into me. But my goal in life was to be a country music DJ and program director in a major market, like on Cat Country.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I wanted to do. Sports just
shock jock
pulled me over this way. From Markino Majdelski, he says, the Titans are pretenders. You going to take that?
No, I'm not. It's 6-3. Played horrible. The worst game of the year.
You guys tell me.
6-3. Top of the division.
The second Gus Frerotte is ready, let me know. We're going to go to break and bring him in. Point five, the Manitoba Junior Hockey League has shut down until January 1st. No laughing matter there. It bothers me that people are snickering at the junior leagues and anybody that's trying to play right now. It really bothers me a ton. Particularly people with paying jobs that are, you got shut down. It's getting worse, you know, that mentality. Society is getting way worse.
Oh, yeah.
The cheese is slipping off the cracker of a lot of people. I'm not an advocate of breaking the rules like those two Junior A teams from Winnipeg did, but I'm also not an advocate of sitting on our ass for 2 years doing nothing. Point six, the NHL plans to play, and from what I keep hearing from my NHL people, but what I'm not hearing on SportsCenter and Sportsnet Connected is that they're going to play and follow the NFL model. So if you can talk to your friends that play in the NFL or NBA, well, the NBA did a bubble, but they're not going to do a bubble when they do come back. They're going to follow that model of the NFL. Why they're not saying it, I don't know. That's what I'm getting. So it'll be playing in empty stadiums.
Yep.
And if in some states, well, Bettman basically said this the other day. If some states allow fans into the arena, we're going to allow it. We don't want to do bubbles. It's the NFL model. And it's why the CFL is in a hell of a lot of trouble right now, because they just don't have the money to pull that off without fans. The NHL does. So we will be sitting here having coffee every day at 12 p.m. Eastern talking sports, because we'll have something to talk about. But for the rest of the leagues, they're in a hell of a lot of trouble finding a way to play. Let's take a break and come back. This has been the warm-up, and thanks for listening to my rants. We got Gus Frerotte on the way, John Frenzy, Tori Gurley, and I guess I'm not going to see you for a while.
That's right.
All right. So you're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram.
Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Thanks for joining us, everybody. John Frenzy's here. His appearances for Wheaton Kia. Can you see that Kia logo on his shirt?
Yeah,
it looks perfect. Lynch, you look perfect.
Yeah, I do. I agree. Wife doesn't.
So we had a not a scheduling issue, but we had an issue with getting Gus Frerotte on the air. But Clark says he's just moments away. It's a technical thing. Gus Frerotte, very big name. Would you not agree, Frenzy?
Oh, certainly.
And your headphones, we didn't get those ready for you, but you're going to have to get them.
No, I'll be okay.
Okay, Gus Frerotte, just so you know, from Kittanning, Pennsylvania. Played with the Redskins from 94 to 98, Detroit Lions in 99, Denver Broncos 2000 and 01, Cincinnati Bengals 02, with the Vikings 03, 04, Dolphins 05, Rams 06, 07, and then back with the Vikings in 08. Was a Pro Bowler in 1996, and he's tied for a record for the longest touchdown pass in NFL history, 99 yards. He did it in 2008. Gus Frerotte. And he's now hosting a podcast. He's active in brain health study. Just sounds like a super dude.
Sure, he does.
And he's going to be joining us here shortly. Now, Chris Bird in Toronto watching. He says, big tip of the hat to Kim Ng today. New general manager of the Miami Marlins and the first woman to ever hold a post like this. Yeah, where'd my bell go? Congratulations, Kim Ng. General manager of the Miami Marlins announced today. People scramble, go to Google for Joanne Pollock, the first general manager of the Ottawa Rough Riders. Remember that, Frenzy, in the 90s?
Sure.
So she was the first pro sports general manager, Joanne Pollock. We will never forget her. But of a major league, Miami Marlins, Kim Ng. Congratulations. Yeah. And the comment from Jack Fulton, I'd just say, hang on, Jack. The CFL Players Association President Solomon Elamimian came out yesterday and talked about long-term financial stability for the CFL and what it's going to take. There it is. His comments, what he sees for the CFL to have long-term success. Do you agree with his comments? Jack, we'll get to that. My brief comment on that is he says revenue sharing is the way to go in the CFL. While I would agree most years right now, there is no revenue. There's nothing to share. So if we'd been talking about this 10 years ago, probably wouldn't be in the mess we're in today.
That's right.
Anyways, Frenzy, put on your headphones if you don't mind, as we bring in Gus Frerotte. And Gus, while we were getting you lined up, we read off your bio here, so we're good. So I'll ask you, how are you doing, sir? Where are you joining us from today?
I'm doing great, Rod. I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So you went back home for retirement, basically. Am I right in saying that?
We did. After living in St. Louis for 8 years, we decided to move back to Pittsburgh. And, you know, that's where my wife and I both grew up, be a little closer to family. But, you know, life is short. You never know where we're going to go next.
Well, no, you don't. That's right. People plan and God laughs. And are we ever seeing that these days? We got, by the way, Hall of Fame Saskatchewan Rough Riders broadcaster with us here, John Frenzy. There you go. So he's got some questions for you, Gus. But I'm excited.
John, how you doing?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm excited to get down to Pittsburgh because my niece just committed to Robert Morris University in the hockey program beginning next year. So I'm very excited to get down there for the first time. But Gus, we got a lot of things to get to with you today. I think my first question for you is, how do you feel the NFL has pulled off this season to date into week 10, given all the problems that it was facing and it's still going?
Well, I think so far so good. Obviously, they've had some problems as far as, you know, COVID testing and guys getting the virus and things like that. But I think they've done a pretty good job. If they have played, they've made sure that they've quarantine, done things like that, which they need to. We saw them fine teams if they weren't staying up to protocol during games or even, you know, through the week. There's some pretty hefty fines going around out there, but it's a hard thing. And, you know, in the States here, it's a crazy uptick right now. We're not going the right way, and it's going to be even harder for these teams to try and keep on track. There's a lot of people that come in and out of those buildings every day to get, you know, these games going and get the players ready and do what they need to do to be successful.
The Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, having a great year. Gus, what's going on there? Are they going to finish first? They're undefeated so far. Man, looking great.
Yeah, they are looking really good. You know, I think their schedule was a little favorable for them early on. They have a great defense. They got Big Ben back, which helps them a lot. And I think that they, you know, they came through some games that, you know, it could have went either way. They ended up winning them, and that's a sign of a good team. I think the Steelers are feeling good about where they are right now. They're relatively healthy. They've lost a few linemen, but they've stayed pretty healthy through all of this. And if they can continue to stay healthy and not lose any more players, they lost a big linebacker in Devin Bush, which was hard. But I think other than that, you know, they're playing really well. Their defense is really good. And you know, as long as they don't play down to their opponent and they always play at their level they should be, they're going to do well.
New England Patriots, of course, have six Super Bowls. So do the Steelers. And the Steelers are – is there much talk now in Pittsburgh about, hey, we want to get that seventh Super Bowl and get ahead of Pittsburgh or get ahead of New England?
Not that I've heard of lately. I think they're just interested in going week to week and winning games. People are pretty happy about where they are. Listening to some local talk shows and things, I haven't heard that come up too much. But, you know, that's always a conversation for us here. And I think that once we get closer to the playoff scenario and where they're going to sit in the playoffs, that talk will definitely come back.
Gus, I got I'm going to turn Lynch loose on you with a few more questions in a minute. But first, I want to talk about you for a second. You got a podcast, Huddle Up with Gus. And I want to talk about your brain health, things that you're doing and working with youth. But the podcast itself, what do you cover in there, and what do you enjoy about doing it?
Well, it started, you know, a few years ago. Listened to local sports talk radio. There's a lot of hypotheticals, a lot of scenarios, and it's usually about the current team that's playing. There weren't a lot of, you know, good stories about people and their lives, and so my buddy and I, Dave Hager, we really tried to take that to a different level. We wanted to hear stories about how sports shape people's lives. It doesn't matter what background you come from. Sports has affected most of us in one way or another. And so it lets me talk to celebrities, professionals, veterans, anybody, because when we were growing up, we all played some type of sport, or we, you know, our parents kicked us out of the house to go and you know, play with our buddies in the backyard or the neighborhood kids. And so everybody has a story to tell. I just interviewed Matthew McConaughey. He has a great story. It was an amazing show. We had a great conversation. And that's when you know you're doing things right, where you have a conversation and you're not just asking questions.
McConaughey, my wife's favorite. Hook him. My favorite human being, right? I think, is Matthew McConaughey. Which, by the way, you talk about kicking out of the house. I was thinking about this the other day. You're on in a show in Canada, Gus, and I just remember the cops knocking on our door regularly, and they're standing there saying to my parents, your boys broke into the hockey rink again. Are we going to charge them with breaking and entering? And I'm thinking, that was the worst that we faced, breaking into the hockey rink after hours to go play, compared to what it is today. But you know, you coached in St. Louis, by the way. You know, I'm going through your Wikipedia here, and you know, a brand ambassador for your company with Brain Health. Can we talk a little bit about that too, like giving back?
Yeah, you know, I after I retired in 2008, I coached high school football where my kids went to school at John Burroughs School in St. Louis. I coached some incredible kids. Two of them end up going and playing professional football. They play, one is Ezekiel Elliott, who plays for the Cowboys. The other one is Foye Oluokun, who plays for the Falcons. And then there are several kids that I coached that are gone on to do amazing things and have incredible jobs. So I really enjoyed that time, but it had to come to an end at some point. My daughter graduated, and she went back to Haverford in Philadelphia. And we said, okay, it's either we're going to move close to her or there's going to be a lot of long trips. And we were from Pittsburgh, so it was an easy decision, an easy move for us. But we do miss that school. And then when we moved back here, I started coaching at where my sons went to school, Pittsburgh Central Catholic. And then I really said, you know, I wasn't fulfilling enough. I tried to get back in the NFL. I was kind of too far out of it at that point. And then met Clarence Carlos, who's the CEO of RC21X. They developed an app that measures and monitors your brain performance. And so, you know, I kind of was about that. They were monitoring over 800 players, former players in the NFL with their application and their desktop version. And so I still work with them here and there. I was going around for a while with them, but I moved on from that. I still work with them and try to connect a lot of people that really need to understand what their brain performance is. And this tool really helps it. It's called the Roberto app. We partnered with the Clemente family because we know that Roberto Clemente was a humanitarian as well as an unbelievable baseball player. And, you know, right now I'm doing a few things where we're creating certified coaching clinics so that people get certified here on coaching and then trying to create new camps across the country with certified coaches. Because here in the States is one of the only places where you don't have to be a certified coach to go coach kids. And we want to change that. So everybody has to go through a certification process to coach kids. I think it's valuable. And we want more kids to stay in the game, learn the game of football. They may not play it at the highest level, but they can stay in it, love it. And I think that's where it's kind of fallen by the wayside here in the States, just because of, if not anything else, more sports coming in like soccer and lacrosse and things that those other sports have grown. So we're going to try and make football back to when we were kids and how everyone loved it. And then other than that, I'm opening up a studio here in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a multimedia studio where we can also have people who have shows like yours or podcasts or anything like that and do it right here in Pittsburgh at the Energy Innovation Center. So I've got a lot going on. I love doing what I'm doing and just here and other than that, supporting my wife.
Good for you. the biggest job. Yeah. Okay, all right. Back to Frenzy. What do you got, Frenzy?
Canadian people in the NFL. Of course, this year Claypool comes from Notre Dame. You guys drafted him. Great choice. I think he's doing a great job for the Steelers. What do you think about his addition to the team?
Oh, I think he's great. I think he's playing really well. He's a big kid, powerful kid. I think as you grow up in the NFL, you learn how to run routes better. We've seen his power. We've seen his strength. We've seen his athletic ability. As he stays with the Steelers, as he gains knowledge about how to go against different players, how to go against different coverages, man-to-man, zone, all those things, they'll find more ways to use him, and I think he'll be successful, especially with a guy like Ben who can get him the ball in different ways.
Last Sunday, I watched the Patriots play the New Orleans Saints, and I thought it was going to be a great football game, and it wasn't. It was a terrible game, 33-3 New Orleans.
And hang on, was Buccaneers Saints?
And Buccaneers and Saints, and Tom Brady had a bad time. Looking forward to that game, Gus, and it was a terrible game. What do you think happened to Tom Brady in that game?
I don't know. You know, I've heard several versions of what people thought happened. I think he got hit. I think the Saints had a good game plan against them to make him hold the ball a little longer, let their defensive linemen get to him a little bit. And, you know, they have a lot of weapons on that team. And for some reason, I feel like that their coaches aren't utilizing those weapons as well, aren't putting those weapons in ways that they can win. When you watch the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that Coach Reed does a great job of you know, understanding who his weapons are for Patrick Mahomes and letting them run routes, letting them do things that they're really good at. And sometimes I feel like when I watch the Buccaneers, they're just calling plays, right? We think that just because we have good weapons, these guys will be open and Tom's going to find them. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I don't know if it's so much Tom. I think it's just more the scheme right now. I think they need to change their scheme a little bit to get some of those guys like Mike Evans, and obviously you're going to have Antonio Brown and Ronald Jones, a running back. You know, they have some really – Chris Godwin's a good player. You know, I mean, obviously we all know Gronkowski and his past, but I don't know if they're putting them in the best places to win right now, and I think that's what they have to do. Obviously we saw the Saints shut them down and beat them twice this year, so obviously – I think that every defensive coordinator is calling the Saints right now and trying to figure out how they can beat the Buccaneers as well.
from Chris in Toronto. He says, great comment about coaching kids by Gus. It is so important that coaches get the training needed to do this important job. For some kids, their coach could be the only uplifting person in their lives. No doubt about that. Last one for you, Gus. This is from producer Clark, and I think it's great. He says, Gus was a seventh-round pick in 94, turned it into a 15-year career in the NFL. You were a Pro Bowler. He says, what does he think was the main reason he was able to have such a long career as a late pick?
You know, it's just the background I come from. Growing up here in Pittsburgh, my dad worked at PPG. He was a big mill guy. You know, you just had an attitude of never quit. I mean, in ninth grade, I tackled somebody with my head down and fractured a fourth vertebrae in my neck. And you think that would put most people never play the game again. But, you know, I took a year off, came back and played. I had a great high school coach in Harry Beckwith, who was my father-in-law. And you know, he just kind of brought me back the right way and said, you know, everybody has problems and you got to overcome them sometime. And I've had those throughout my career. I've always kind of been the underdog, and there's only one remedy for any of that. It's hard work. And it's really not focusing on the problems or the pain. It's moving ahead. What can I do to get better? What can I do to push myself? And I've had some great mentors throughout my time. Like I mentioned, you know, first of all, it's my wife who's always been there and supported me. It's my high school football coach, Harry Beckwith, my college coach, Coach David Rader, and it's my first quarterback coach, Cam Cameron. All three of them pushed me and made me better. And, you know, I just never lost that drive to want to go out there and start. And that's probably why I was on seven teams. I wasn't satisfied with just being a backup. I wanted to go out and play the game that I love.
Great answer. And you're right. Most people do give up. And the ones that persevere are the ones that achieve the great things. Gus, you're a pleasure to watch for sure. And now I know you're going to be a pleasure to listen to. And I appreciate the time today, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I want to say hi to all my family up in Canada. I appreciate them. Hopefully they catch your show and listen to me. So I wanted to say hi to all of them, and I appreciate you having me on, Rod.
Hang on, Gus. Where's your family in Canada?
Saskatoon. I have some family up there.
What?
Saskatoon.
How did this happen?
And then I have family in you know, Niagara Falls area. All the way up through, Montreal and everywhere. So, I think our family, when we came over, we came that way through Canada and ended up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. So the next time that we have you on, we'll unpack all of that. I had no idea, Gus. Is Saskatoon's just
There are a lot of Farrats up in Canada.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, sir. Thank you so much. Continued success. Thanks, Gus.
Been great, Gus.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, how do you like that, Lynch? And you went to university in Saskatoon.
That's right. I probably know him. Probably play football.
You probably know the Farrats. That's right. We got to take a timeout. We will. Hang on. Joanne Farrat writes in. She says she's in Moose Jaw.
You got to be kidding about that.
He waits till the end of the interview to drop that. Clark, what are we doing Monday? We got to get Gus Farrat back.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's great.
We'll be back with a sports update. We got our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, coming up as well. You're watching the RP Show's Flame Tech Football Friday on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, that was just awesome. Gus Farrat. And we'll unpack a lot of his comments in a minute. But first, and I will get to a sports update too, but Mandy in Edmonton. First, she says, I have to go to work, but I'll watch the whole show later. I just want to say that the question of making a Canadian act mandatory is truly silly. She said, why does Rod want a halftime show to be Canadian when he wants his own show to appeal beyond Canada? American music would appeal to Americans as well as Canadians. I would think if we're getting an American act at halftime for Grey Cap, the Americans would already know who the American act is. The whole point is exposing Canadian talent to the worldwide viewing audience of the Grey Cup. You've got it backwards, Mandy, from what I'm saying. And by the way, trying to appeal beyond Canada, maybe we are. You heard us say, Lynch, off the start that a third of our viewers are American, but we're not doing anything to appease them. We haven't changed one bloody thing since we started in day one. Sure. It's growing in those areas. But all we're doing is being available on more platforms in those areas.
And getting guys like Gus.
Having guys, well, we did say a while back we wanted to open, expand the Rolodex to NFL personalities, and that's a phone book of people.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going. Anyways, I don't think we're coming to any kind of conclusion on being mandatory for the Grey Cup Halftime Act to be Canadian, but that's how I feel. I've felt it for a long time.
As long as they're good. Yeah.
Well, I don't want somebody bad there, but you know, we could sit and talk for days about Grey Cup Halftime Acts in the past, and music's subjective. If there's one thing that I've learned, we had Brady in Saskatoon's going, writing in. He says, Bryan Adams, that's just a comment I can't go along with. Bryan Adams is one of the greatest artists in the history of the world. So if you want to make fun of the guy, I would say the joke's on you. Here's Ronald Steven Jacobson watching in America. He says, I watch for Canadian sports, and I'm American. From Joe Lazito, for the record, there's a lot of crappy American music. Keep the halftime show Canadian. Thank you for the win. Joe Lazito in Long Island. Mandy says, ha ha, Saskatchewan does everything backwards. Don't tell me I have it backwards. It would bring Americans to watch their own talent. Have a good day at work, Mandy. Bye-bye. Sports update. Phillip Rivers threw for 308 yards and a touchdown, and Nyheim Hines scored twice as the Indianapolis Colts beat the Titans 34-17 to grab the head-to-head edge atop the AFC South. The Colts will host the rematch in Indy on November 29th. The NFL was not expected to be immune from the ratings declines that have hit all sports this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but the declines are not as bad as some feared at the beginning of the season. Games are averaging 15.1 million television and digital viewers, according to the league and Nielsen. That is a 6% decline from last year. What a difference 19 months makes for Paul Casey. The 43-year-old Englishman is leading the Masters after shooting a 7-under 65 in the opening round. In 2019, Casey shot 86 and 82 to badly miss the cut. Canadian Mike Weir had a solid day at Augusta National. The 2003 Masters champion from Brightsgrove, Ontario, fired a 1-under 71. Nick Taylor of Abbotsford was 1-under through 12 holes when play was halted. Abbotsford's Adam Hadwin and Corey Connors of Listowel, Ontario, opened with 2 over 74s. There's more, but I'll cut it there. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They are now booking for your office Christmas parties. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit them at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. John Frenzy, your take on what Jack asked way back at the start before the Gus Frerotte interview, and that was, yeah, pull your mic up, Clark's telling me. Pull it right up to your face there. Solomon Elamimian saying, among other things, revenue sharing is something that the CFL needs to guarantee survival, and that is the rich teams, if that's Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, should be sending money to the poor teams, and we all know who those are. How do you feel about that?
I'm sort of shocked right now. I've seen a situation where the Rough Riders have committed themselves to keep the Alouettes on board for this year and next year. It doesn't matter what the amount is. They're going to give them some money, enough to keep on board. I think it's great if you can do it. If you got the money, it's wonderful. We've had some great years in the Saskatchewan situation where we have been very, very flush, let's put it that way. And we have shared them with the other teams in the league. It's a great idea in a way, but I prefer that all the teams be self-sufficient and can take care of themselves. If it really gets tough, yes, then we'll look at it. But I don't want it to be where we're helping three or four clubs in the league the way it is right now. I don't want to see that. Right now, we're committed to this year, last year and this year, to help the Montreal Alouettes. I don't know if fans know that or not, but it was a pretty well-open, known fact in town. So I really don't like it. I wish the teams could handle themselves. But if they have to, if they can't, we want them in the league, we got to help them. But it's certainly a second choice.
Well, I guess this is a big topic for a lot of people. You and I talk about this stuff with our friends every day. I guess it's just caught the grand public's attention now, the concept of revenue sharing. This idea of sending $600,000 plus to the Alouettes this year has been devastating to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And they are proposing that they do it every year? I think, I don't know, I'm not a mathematics
next 2 years.
A financial consultant, analyst, or planner, but there's not enough money. Even in the good times, there's not enough money. And you're punishing teams like Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, who habitually do it right in the way that they run their franchise, to subsidize teams that do it wrong? I'm in no way, shape, or form in favor of that. And when we talk about the NFL, Major League Baseball frenzy with revenue sharing, there's so much money there they couldn't screw it up even if they tried.
That's right.
That's the difference between the leagues. I'd have to go in and read the actual comments from Solomon. I just saw the headline, which is shame on me for doing that because you should read the whole article. But I guess, Lynch, as we're sitting here today, we're saying no to revenue sharing in the CFL. Find another way to be viable, I guess.
Well, I mean, I wonder if the Rough Riders hadn't shared in the last 30 years with so much with other teams to keep them going, how much money would the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have right now? Quite a bit, I think. Don't you?
Yeah.
I've seen the commitment. You have, too, to the Montreal Alouettes. It's open-ended pretty well. You said $600,000 they sent to them last year, I guess. But it's, if the Alouettes need $1 million, too, I guess the Rough Riders will give them $1 million, too. Are the other teams sharing on that, too? We don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. But it's scary when you see it. No. It's something I don't agree in at all. I mean, if that way, you're carrying that team. If you are, you should maybe have some authority what the team's doing, who they're playing, who the coach should be, you know? Gets really carried away. If you're sharing with them in the revenue situation, then you should be able to have some thoughts and ideas about the way the team's playing. Or
right.
The coach.
Or how it's run, yeah. Well, take a pause. I'm going to look up this article. By the way, hour two, we're going to national TV, simulcast on Game Plus TV, plus Facebook Live. We'll get into viewer takeover next. It's the RP Show, Flame Tech Football Friday. You're watching on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back. It was just a pause. Although you guys never told me what time I need to be out. Can you put it on the monitor, please? We're talking about revenue sharing, and I feel that this will carry over into hour two of the program when we go to Game Plus TV. Brett Taylor says revenue sharing is a good thing, but we have to remember back to when we couldn't afford a can of paint for the trainer's room. Chris in Toronto says, how much money would the Rough Riders have right now if the Lions, Argos, and Alouettes folded? I have a feeling that Chris Bird is a bit of a left-wing liberal mentality. Lynch, you and I come from the right-wing mentality. I should only speak for myself. How about stop asking the Riders for money and look in the mirror and fix your own mess?
Yep.
How about that? Let's start there instead of having your hand out. How about those teams get their act together, okay? But that's my take on that. Not everybody agrees. Steven Jacobson's watching in North Dakota. He says, is MLSE still a possible single owner? I think everything's on the table right now. All possibilities are on the table. From what I've heard from my sources in and around MLSE, they're looking at their own bank account going, holy spit. We haven't had a deposit since March.
Yep.
So their house is on fire.
But watching this team since 1948, it's been a prevalent thing virtually all the time that some team, maybe two, is in dire straits and needs help to get out, to continue to stay in the league. The teams have come through and given them the money. We have probably been the biggest donor because we have the most money, because the fans here are so terrific, and we've just had record attendance, just fantastic attendance the last 15 years. Incredible.
Frenzy, we said 5-6 months ago, you and I, on this show, that the Saskatchewan has funded the CFL for the last 25, 30 years. Yeah. There just isn't the money here to do it anymore. So hang on. We're going to carry it all over into hour two. Frenzy and I, DuPont will return, and our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, will join us for Wheaton Kia. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday, and you're watching the RP Show. We'll see you for hour two on Game Plus and Facebook Live. Truth's in the coffee. It's truth serum.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.